The writer says, you're my friend and you are my brother, even though you are a king. Wow, I'm not very close to royalty, but I am to Jesus, our King. Isn't it remarkable that we can call him our brother? He is that close. St. John's Gospel, chapter 4 and verse 10, and I only read the beginning of that well-known story of Jesus meeting the woman of that Samaritan town called Sychar. And Jesus said to her, if only you knew what God is offering. That's the words from the Revised Standard Version. And I like those words in preference to Good News and in this case, NIV. If only you knew what God is offering, he said to the woman. Something being offered, but will it be accepted? I don't know about you, but I get fed up with being inundated with offers through the post, through the letterbox, in the newspaper printed and loosely in the newspaper as well, or on the telephone, often by people that, I'm sorry, I can't understand you, having a clue what they're trying to say, and on our TV. Offers that must end by a certain date. Bank holiday Monday will be the final day for this offer. From a cruise in the sunshine to a stair lift, cheaper mobile phone, relief from back pain if you take these tablets. So it goes on, doesn't it? I like the one the other day. It was unfortunate, I know. But 2 weeks ago in Haverhill Echo, there was Haverhill Golf were offering a cuppa, a breakfast and a round of golf for £22. But on that Thursday, the place was covered in snow. It was most unfortunate, but I know what they meant. They were having an offer, not just for that week, but for longer. But I had to smile to myself. Jesus was anxious to make it clear what God was offering. Lent, this period that we're in now, is a time for sitting down and listening to what God has to offer. I like to think that the woman at Sychar did just that. She sat down on the well wall with Jesus, not to hear a sermon, but to listen and chat with him. One-to-one, with little or no distractions. And we know from this well-known story that her conversation with Jesus revealed secrets in her life that he already knew about. They weren't secrets to him. He knew the reason why she came alone to the well and not with the other women, which was the norm. And Jesus revealed to her what God was offering, and she accepted and went and told others. A person with a need which Jesus was able to fulfill. And then we moved to the story of the lost son. Jesus was mindful of the needs of the people who gathered round him, so he told the parable, the story of the lost son. He was aware of the plight of the needy, but also he was aware of the needs of the religious leaders who had come to find fault in him. Both, you see, had a need of what God was offering. And we learn from that parable, which we looked at in our Bible study group on Monday, that God has much to offer to people in various circumstances and conditions. In the case of the lost son, a fresh start within the family. Not what he was asking for or expecting. A reckless waste of the inheritance his father had entrusted to him. Irresponsible, wasteful, unthoughtful. And he had sunk into the gutters of living, feeding pigs and even eating the pigs' food. Abhorrent for a Jew. those listening to that story. Jesus' portrait of the young man could not be more revolting and detestable, especially to the Pharisees, who had gathered to take note of who Jesus was fraternizing with and to find fault in that. But in Jesus' story, the young man came to his senses, decided to go home to his father, confess all, and ask to be given a position as a servant. Go and I'll confess that I've made a mess of it before you, Father, but he also said before heaven. And he needed just to be on the fringes of the family again, was all he hoped for or felt possible. Yet, what had the Father to offer him? An embrace. Long before he'd got to the family home, his father had run out to him and embraced him. A welcome home, a ring to put on his finger, a symbol of sonship, and shoes on his feet, a token of liberty, not as a servant or a slave. What did our God say in Ezekiel? I shall pour clean water over you, and you will be cleansed. I will cleanse you of all your defilement and all your idols. And that's what the Father in Jesus' story, representing God, were able to do for that lost son. Pour clean water over him. Cleanse him of all his sinfulness and restore him. A story with a happy ending, if it had finished there, but of course it didn't. Jesus was not only aware of the plight of the needy and those needing salvation, of lives to be lifted from the mire. Jesus was also aware of the needs of the Pharisees and teachers of the law who were also listening to him. He was anxious that they too would know what God was offering them. If the Pharisees saw in the lost son the type of publicans and sinners that Jesus was mixing with and which they criticized him for, would they recognize also themselves in the elder brother in Jesus' story? God also had much to offer them, as illustrated in the father's concern for the elder son in his story. The father went out to the elder son. As he went out to meet the younger son when he saw him coming, he also went out to meet the elder son and reassure him of his love and his place within the whole family. The elder brother had stayed at home, worked hard within the family business, obeyed his father's orders, even perhaps begrudgingly over a period of time. Yet he now knows his wayward younger brother has returned, and his father has not only welcomed him back, but put on a lavish homecoming party for him. This his father had never done for him, and he refuses to join the celebrations. So the father comes out to him, begs him to join the family. Yet he cannot, as he throws all his anger and resentment back into his father's face. All these years I have slaved for you, but you've never done anything like this, put on a party for me and my friends. Yes, he had done everything right. He had obeyed all the rules, but inwardly this elder son was in torment through jealousy and pride, just like the chief priests, the Pharisees, the teachers of the law. He is not at peace, and neither can he find love for his father or his brother, as he refers to his brother as the son of yours. To accept what the father was offering would mean swallowing his pride and acknowledging the father's love for both his sons. a love that cannot be bought by duty or earned by good deeds. The elder brother needs to look at his anger, resentment, and jealousy within and let the father's love deal with it. Then and only then can he appreciate the depth of love the father has, which has so warmly welcomed the wayward home and remains just as strong for the one who stayed at home. To know what the father has to offer means coming home, coming indoors, taking your seat around the family table, welcoming back your brother as well, and sharing in the intimate company of the whole family. As God said in Ezekiel, I shall give you a new heart. I will put a new spirit in you. I shall remove that heart of stone from your bodies and will give you a heart of flesh instead. This is what the elder brother needed. That heart of stone removed with all its anger, with all its resentment, with all its jealousy, with all its pride. And that's what the Pharisees and the teachers of the law needed as they looked at Jesus dealing with the needy, the sinners, the publicans, which they could not deal with themselves. That is what the Father has to offer each one of us. We all have needs, and in those needs, the Father knows what we need, and he offers it to us. We have to accept. If only you knew what the Father is offering. Amen.